NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
What is going on, Thunder fans? It is that time of year again. For the first time in almost 5 years, the Thunder are back in the playoffs. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB golf, the MLB and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I am your host, Dylan Hunzinger, at Thunder Chats. We are part of the B-League Network, and this podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Now that that's out of the way, the Thunder absolutely stole one. Game 4 in Dallas. We are excited. Our spirits are alive. This series is tied. We have captured home court advantage again. I'm here with three of my closest friends here. First of all, we've got joining us in the Batmobile with his hard copy stat sheet, the man, the myth, the legend, Alejandro Alex Roy. What up, Alex?
Man, this is literally a game where we snatched a W from the jaws of defeat. It's what we've been living for, man. It's what we've been waiting for this entire time, this entire rebuild. Like a game like this that kind of like solidifies, you know, what we've been waiting for, what we've been doing. And this was just a hard-nosed victory, man. It was just one that we literally needed 48 minutes, and it was beautiful, man. I had a heart attack. It's the best feeling heart attack I've ever had, but I love it.
I love it, man. I love it. Also joining us is also man, myth, legend. I'm unsure what his whereabouts are right now, judging by the white I see. I think that he is also still in Hawaii. It's Matty Moles. What up, Moles?
Aloha. What's going on, fellas? What a beautiful, terrible, disgusting, awesome game that we just witnessed. We got to be in the record books for one of the worst shooting performances in the playoffs in history and still getting the win. It was excluding from the free throw line, which was our saving grace tonight. We'll probably talk about that in a little bit, but Holy crap. I haven't moved. I need to go get dinner. I still got to like go take a leak at some point. I'm afraid that if I move, I'm going to upset the balance and then I'll wake up and realize that it was actually a loss all along.
Well, it wasn't a loss. We got the win. Hopefully, you know, we can kind of rip through this. You can, you know, you can go take care of what you need to take care of, Moles. But before we get to that, got to bring in the fourth member of the pod, man, the myth, the legend, the underscone, Connor Cone. What up, Cone?
I'm all right. I hope everyone in my apartment building is okay as well after the earthquake I caused jumping up and down in my apartment and probably waking everybody up if they have work tomorrow. I apologize. I can't believe that happened. This was like legitimately, this is both what you dread and what you dream of when you think about the Thunder getting back to the playoffs is the just disaster that was most of the first half and then the absolute insanity that's the fourth quarter, even the third quarter when they're battling back. The stuff that Shea did in particular, and I know we're going to talk about him a lot on this podcast, but it was one of the single greatest Thunder playoff performances of all time. I don't have enough. Like, I'm speechless at the moment. It's completely absurd that we won this game and that it's tied 2-2 going back to OKC.
Yep. I mean, and that's what it boils down to, man. You know, this was, you know, we talked about in the game two pod. Shout out to Cone, who did a solo pod game three. Due to unforeseen circumstances with my family, I was not able to post that yet. So we will get it posted for the archives, Cone. Appreciate you doing that. But
yeah, that's all good, man. We have way better things to talk about now.
For sure. But, you know, game two, we talked about how game three wasn't necessarily a must win. But game four, if we was to let game three slip, absolutely was a must win. And at first, it didn't feel like the Thunder team felt that way. Like they wasn't playing with urgency. They wasn't playing with, you know, the same crisp offense that we've seen all year. The offense stagnated defensively. We weren't locked in a lot for the early part of the game. And it felt like, you know, the scoreboard was a single digit like deficit for like much of the game, but like just momentum's sake, it felt like we were down like 20, 25 points for like probably like the first three quarters. But credit to this team, man. You know, as young as they are, as small as they are, you know, they were able to grind it out, rally, get some shots to fall, absolutely battle on the glass. Chet had some huge rebounds down the stretch, and you know, we'll definitely talk about his performance as well. But defensively, to lock in, you know, to you know, force some tough shots. You know, young guys stepping up. Shout out Kaysom Wallace. I think he was a huge catalyst to the comeback tonight. And, you know, we'll talk about that as well. But, I mean, this is the kind of game that, you know, it's not it doesn't just set things back to how it's supposed to be. You know, we're the top seed in this matchup. We have home court advantage. They stole one at home. We tied it up, so we have home court advantage. Like, it sets things back where it needs to be. But it swings the momentum the complete other way because the way that we were able to steal that game on the road and, you know, despite us not playing well, like as a collective group, like we showed up in that fourth quarter. Shea was there the entire game. You know, guys showed up in pockets in the game, but to collectively have a poor performance and be able to still win on the road, absolutely huge. So without further ado, guys, let's get into this. You know, I know we're all chomping at the bit to talk about this. So single hard item, Thunder, Mavericks, 100-96. We got the victory, tied it at 2-2. I am going to start with Alex because – I don't think he was able to make it on game two. It's been a little bit. So, Alex, let's go to you, sir.
Yeah, so just the resiliency of this team. Like, I, for one, thought that this team was cooked in that first half. Like, I put out a tweet. I said that we're cooked, that we're cooked. Well done, steak. Like, I thought it was over. Like, I was like, you know, it's just experience-wise, you know, we just didn't have it. Physicality-wise, we just didn't have it. But I'm 100% happy that they proved me wrong. You know, that first half at the end of the first half to me was very similar to the end of the first half of the Nuggets Timberwolves game last night, where, you know, a shot here, a steal there, and then another 3-point shot there, you know, from half court completely took all the momentum, any momentum that Minnesota had even thought that they were going to have, took it completely away from them, and they just could not come back from that. I thought that the end of the first half for us was very similar. You know, you had Kyrie making a step back three with a hand in his face. You had Luka making a step back three with a hand in his face. And then you had us look like we had a little bit of a transition opportunity there at the end of the first half. It gets blocked. I believe Lu Dort got fouled on his attempt to go back up with it. And then we head into halftime. Instead of being down by like 7, we're down by 11. And so at that point, me as a fan, I'm thinking, there's no way that this team collectively, mentally, can come back from this. And man, the resiliency of these young guys. You know, you're talking about out there on the floor, you had 2 rookies, you had 2 sophomores, you had Shea. I think it was 2 rookies, a sophomore, and Shea, and then somebody else in the closing lineup. But the resiliency, and you know, you had Dort, you had SGA, and then you had 2 rookies and J-Dub. The resiliency of this team, man, is astonishing to me. Maturity-wise, they're far ahead of where they're supposed to be. And for me to say that a game 4, a must-win game 4 in the second round of the playoffs, for the youngest team that's ever done this, for them to come back and, you know, get the lead and keep the lead, it truly felt like this was a watershed moment for this team. Like, if this team moves on from this series, it's because of that second half of game 4, because, you know, I think we may have unlocked something defensively. And honestly, we still have not, I don't think we've played our best game yet. And so with that, you have hope heading into game 5. Like, the pendulum of this momentum has swung completely over to us. Like you said, Dylan, the way we won has to put something in the head of Dallas Maverick players, of their fans, of everybody in that organization, as far as like, oh crap, we had this in our hands and we let this slip. And so, you know, those shots from PJ Washington, do they still keep on falling in game 5? You know, that's something, you know, he missed a free throw real bad. Luka missed a free throw in very critical moments today. Does that start to affect them? Do the Thunder play a little bit looser? Do they start, you know, jacking up their threes where they've been holding on to it here lately? And so just the second half, the resiliency these guys showed was just astonishing to me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the discussion about the Thunder has been their inexperience. This is, like Alex said, the youngest team to ever make it out of the first round. They're the youngest one seed, the youngest team to ever win a game in the second round. Everything they've done has been unprecedented. And I mean, it's true. In the NBA, you very rarely make it to the finals on your first run. You very rarely make it even to the conference finals on your first run. It takes some time. The old Thunder team lost multiple years before they finally got over the hump and made it to that finals, only, you know, to never end up getting back, but having some deep runs afterwards. The Thunder aren't supposed to be here. And I think a lot of people thought they were completely dead in the water after they lost that past game. And we started this game really slow. But like Alex said, you know, the fact that they not only ended up winning, but like they stayed in this the whole time. They kept this game constantly. I'm going to check real quick, but I think the Mavericks, the biggest score they ever had or biggest lead they ever had was like 11 or something like that. Like, they never really got even close to blowing this one open. It was, they got up to 14 at one point. But like the Thunder led for the first couple minutes of the game, and then didn't lead again until the final few minutes. The whole time they were down 7, they were down 8, 5, 9, 10, 14, 11, one of those numbers. And somehow they stayed in it the whole time and found a way to get the win in the end. And there weren't a lot of players who were great all throughout. Like, Shea, I think, is the only guy for the most part that was fantastic. Chet was also pretty good as well. But like, J-Dub struggled and Lu Dort wasn't hitting his shots. And, you know, basically everybody we put in, like, Wiggins wasn't playing his best. J-Will had some rough moments here or there. Everybody struggled in some way. But when we got to the end of the game and it mattered most, everybody did something. Everybody contributed in some way to keep the Thunder afloat and get this win. We don't make it to that point without Shea. We don't get over the hump if it wasn't for the whole team. And I think that's something this team has exemplified all throughout the year, is that resiliency. Regardless of what situation they're facing, the odds, nobody believed in them coming into these playoffs outside of really us. There were a few people here and there, maybe outside of Thunder fans. Not a lot of people believed in them. Not a lot of people believed in them after the first quarter, after the first half. They stayed with it. They don't really care. They don't listen to the outside noise. And to stay poised and pull it off, that is maybe the gutsiest Thunder playoff win I've ever seen, ever. When you consider the age of this team, the position they're in, the fact that they shot 27% from 3 in 2024 and won a playoff game, it's unbelievable. Because this is a team that all season thrived. They were the best 3-point shooting team in the league. So to come in here and win a game basically strictly off mid-range buckets and getting key stops, it's extremely impressive. I can't say enough about how unbelievable it is that this team won this game.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people will be quick to point out, like, you know, the Russell Westbrook team, you know, coming back from 27 point down against the Utah Jazz. I'm like, you know, that was a huge gutty win. But like you said, Cone, like the differentiator on this, and like Alex pointed out, you know, we're the youngest team to ever do this. Well, anything this team does is going to be the youngest team to ever do this, because you've never seen a team this young, like in the playoffs, like achieve this level of success. So, you know, the fact that they're this young and they're able to get this type of win out is just a testament to the guys. And, you know, there's a lot to talk about in here. There's a lot to talk about Seymour Dyadem. But before we get to any more of that, we have a very special guest on the podcast joining us from the West Coast, the one, the only, the Roman, Stephen Dolan.
Unbelievable. Hey. What a cameo. What a cameo.
What up?
Look at that handsome man.
Their testicles are so big. I can't believe how big they are. It's like, I mean, Cone mentioned the shooting. It's really hard to shoot when you're lugging around testicles that big.
It's a point I had to consider. I didn't think about that.
They're just clacking, like bouncing off your knees. Just ridiculous. Did you say the full shooting splits yet? Did anybody say that yet?
I said the 3.1. Didn't say the overall ones, no.
38% from the field, 25.9% from three, 95.8% from the line.
Our saving grace, just, baby.
That's just comical. 38, 26, 96. 23 for 24 from the line. That is just giant testicles. That's all that is right there. I can't believe it, man. Just these crazy kids. Shout out team high plus minus Josh Giddey plus six.
Did see that
in 12
that
minutes.
Is jarring.
That is absolutely jarring. Hey, he was doing his best out there. That's all I gotta say, guys. I'm gonna go to Moles though here. Moles, I want to hear from you. Seymour Dyadem. I don't think you've got to go up and go pee. So say your piece and go pee.
So obviously everybody's talked about Shea. My single large item is that my timeline from my personal Twitter account is a dumpster fire during games like that. But there's a point I made that said at some point we have to stop saying that the Mavs hot shooting and our cold shooting is unsustainable. That's the regular season. This is the playoffs, and that no longer exists. While that's true, our resiliency did carry over. Shea talked about it after the game, how they had been tested so many times throughout the year and fallen down by double digits and came back
time after time.
And they believe in each other, and they've grown organically. That resiliency matters. So while they say, well, these kids are young,
testicles
and they don't
grew
have,
organically.
They grew three sizes that day. You know, they talk about playoff inexperience, and while that's true, these guys have game experience together in these scenarios when things are hard. Like the Toronto game, for instance, when it was just so sluggish and things just weren't coming easy, they still find a way to get the W. Like, that stuff matters. The time that they spend together in the starting lineup matters. Even though Giddey, while he was a plus six tonight, he only played 12 minutes and everybody else was in the 40 range. But those other guys, like Coach Dagnall giving those players valuable minutes, even when things aren't always pretty, matters, because Cason Wallace can come step into this role and be ready to execute in the line of fire. It's very important for everybody to be ready. We did shorten the rotation down a little bit, but man, resiliency up and down the line for the guys that played. Coach Dagnall, like, he hung in there, you know, he was still engaged doing the, hey, let's bring Jay Will in for rebounding and stuff, like making the right moves as far as when to play guys, offense, defense, and look at that stuff. Like, gritty win across the board, but this freaking thing was ugly. I really hope that it's prettier in game 5 when we go back to OKC.
Good teams win ugly games, man. That's the way it goes. You got to gut some out sometimes, and I mean, if you just told me the shooting splits, I would have been like, oh, the Thunder lost for like 15. It's crazy that they found a way to win that game.
Yeah, it goes back to the piece that I wrote about the Thunder second game into the season, whenever we came back against the Cavs, and you know, Dort hit a three. Yeah, Chet hit a three, Shea hit a three, Dove hit a three. And, you know, I titled the piece Never Say Die. You know, and it's – and, you know, I kind of chimed in as Moles was talking there. You know, it wasn't just this season that this, you know, identity has been built, you know, for this team to, you know, make these huge comeback wins, you know, to be resilient and, you know, in the face of pressure like this. It wasn't just this season. This has been something that has been instilled in their identity, not even just last season, but the season before that, you know, whenever Shea and Giddy were first on the team by themselves, whenever Shea was, you know, by himself as like, you know, the one guy with Isaiah Roby running pick and roll with him. Like, you know, this has been something that this team has been preparing for. And, you know, it's true. You can't replicate postseason reps. But what you can replicate is clutch reps. And, you know, for better or worse, these guys have had, you know, their fair share of reps winning and losing in the clutch. We've seen Shea knock down game-winning shots in the clutch. We've seen him knock down game-tying shots in the clutch. We've seen him in the postseason. Like, we've seen these guys step up. And, you know, it's because of that experience that they've had.
I mean, it's like they just have never played like a young team. It's crazy. They just don't do it. Like, they did have moments in this game, and I think throughout the series, like the missing threes and a couple of the turnovers, but they found a way to finish the game anyways.
Yep, absolutely. Conor, we'll go to you, man. We'll get single large item for you, sir.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm gonna rant for a moment. I'm gonna just go off for a couple minutes. Give me a second. Leading into the playoffs, one of the big narratives was, oh, what are, like, especially, I'm sure y'all experienced this, every one of you, even if you're out there listening, you probably at some point tweeted out that, you know, oh, Shea's really good. All the comments, oh, what about the playoffs? If he's a superstar, what's he going to do in the playoffs? Can we really call him a superstar if he hasn't done anything in the playoffs? What's he going to do when there's no whistle? What he's going to do is against the Dallas Mavericks in the second round so far through four games is average 31.8 points per game, 9.8 rebounds, 7 assists, while shooting 48.4% from the field, 45.5% from deep, and 91.4% from the free throw line, which is good for a true shooting percentage of 58.6, a near 60% true shooting percentage in the playoffs when they're focusing him down on 32-10-7 with about a steal and a half. Alex, you just yelled something. Like, you're muted, man. Oh, you're doing MVP stuff. He's doing MVP. He's doing the Jada MVP mirroring. My fault. I thought screaming something. I didn't want that to go to waste.
That was a great pull.
I don't understand how people thought a mid-range assassin that plays at his own pace, has an incredible handle, and is a two-way player would somehow shrink in the playoffs. I don't understand how people thought this guy wasn't at least going to be good, if not exceptional. And he's been exceptional. Tonight was one of the single most impressive individual performances I've ever seen from a Thunder player, ever. He's in rare air with the shots that he made in this game, because the only reason we were in this for a majority of the night was Shea. And I sent this in our group chat at one point. I was coming out halftime. I said, if we're going to go down, I just want Shea to empty the clip. Like, just go out there and go for it. Like, be extremely aggressive. He did that. He had like 10 or 12 points in the third quarter, turned up in the fourth as well, finished tonight specifically with 34, 8, and 5, 14 of 27 shooting, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Not a single turnover, by the way. Not one on the entire night. And every single point came from a mid-range bucket. Shea's shot chart tonight.
His shot chart is insane.
It looks like he's Kobe. He didn't get to the paint once. And that's what Shea does. He's one of the best drivers in the world, but they were shutting that off. So he said, okay, I'm going to hit the most contested mid-range shots you've ever seen for an insane amount of points.
It was a 90s wet dream is what it was.
It was great. As someone who loves the mid-range jumper, I'm born in the wrong era in that term. Like, mid-range jumpers.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
My favorite thing in the world. Having Shea as our superstar is like incredible. It's the best thing ever. But you want to talk about what superstars do in the playoffs. The supporting cast struggling. Guys, so a lot of guys didn't have it tonight. Shea did not care. He said, I'm just going to put us on our back for a little bit. I'm going to get us right there till the end. I'm going to bring us as close as I can. And then, you know, eventually everybody needs help to push it over the edge. That's where Chet came in with the three and Dort hit a couple of threes and J-Dub got that big and one and had a, you know, a big dunk as well. Like everybody made plays down the stretch, but we get there because of Shea. This is why he's top five in the NBA. This is why he belongs in the MVP conversation. I don't want to hear anything else ever about Shea can't put it together in the playoffs, about anything like that. This is what superstar players do. And if he had gone out there and shot like below 50% and made this thing happen, I still would have been happy because that's the way the playoffs work. Sometimes you just got to empty the clip. 14 to 27, he shot above 50%. And he only got to the free throw line for all the people, I'm sure, that were like, oh, well, how many free throws did he have? Six the entire night. Which is way less than, to be honest, you probably should have gotten with the way he was getting attacked in the paint a lot of times. Like, specifically that one time below the basket when he got attacked by like three people in the fast break, he should have gotten that call. He didn't get it. Didn't matter. Kept on playing on. I really appreciate that about Shea, by the way, because people try to lump him in conversations with people who foul bait. Shea does never complain to the refs. He can get hit in the face. They could literally like just punch him in the face and he'll fall over, look at the ref like, how are you not going to call that? And then just run down the other court, won't say a word until a timeout, and then go over and be like, hey, so why didn't you call that foul? He is one of these guys. He just kept his foot on the gas the entire night, refused to miss from the mid-range. It was PG Washington. It was, Daniel Gafford, Derek Lively's outstretched arms. It was Derek Jones Jr. It was Luka. It was Kyrie, who has been really good on defense over the course of this full season. The Mavericks have lengthy guys. They have players that in the past might have given Shea problems. We know he struggled in the past with some of those lengthier defenders. It does not matter. He is one of the very few guys in this league that can do this at this level. I don't think there's more than four players in the world that are better than him right now. And that might even be a stretch, to be honest, at this point in his career. So just to all the people out there that said that Shea wasn't going to do in the playoffs, that he wasn't built for this, it doesn't even matter if the Thunder don't end up winning the series. What he has done so far is hopefully proven to everybody that Shea is one of these guys and that he belongs in the conversations people put him in, because it was, to me, and I'm sure all of you, it was obvious Shea was going to put this together. The people that didn't think so are either hating, or they just didn't watch the Thunder, or they just don't know basketball. One of those three options. Yeah. Pick either one, pick whichever one you want to go with, but it's one of those options. Special player, ridiculous stuff from him. And it's also, you know, last game was 1 of 6 in the fourth quarter. He wasn't the reason we lost, because he was insane overall. But in the fourth quarter today, he's like, okay, I'll just, you know, not miss this time. I'm going to try that strategy. And oh, it worked. So that was my quick Shea rant. There you go.
Hey, he had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block in the fourth quarter.
Damn.
He went absolute takeover mode. And like, you know, Cone, you brought up the buckets, and obviously the buckets are very important. Like, and you know, they were timely buckets too, because, you know, we talk about how it felt like the Mavericks had all this momentum. It felt like, as much as it felt like anytime we started to catch a run, PJ Washington would hit a three and just break our backs and stop the run. It felt like every time the Mavericks was about to, like, you know, bust this open and like really push it out of reach, Shea would hit a ridiculous contested mid-range jumper and, you know, just kind of settle everything down, you know, bring us just a little bit closer once again. But I really just want to, like, you know, talk about some of the things that he did aside from scoring. Rebounding, like, Cone, I think you mentioned he had 10 rebounds per game in this series right now.
Yeah,
8 rebounds again tonight. I think that I'll have to go back and look, but I think he has the most rebounds of anybody in this series. it might be swayed a little bit because Luka had like 15 last game. I'll have to go back and look at that. But I mean, the work that he's done on the glass has just been absolutely menacing. The assists, like, you know, we talked about how Shea's like such a good teammate and, you know, how he trusts his teammates and, you know, how he wants to keep his guys in rhythm and how he's unselfish. And, you know, that was on full display tonight. You know, I was like, come on. I wanted Shea to shoot like 35 shots, especially if nobody else was getting nothing done. Like Shea, like just fire it, man. Like just go in there and just shoot it every time down. And to his credit, he didn't do that. He was looking at, well, there was multiple times. I think he passed it to Dort in the corner. He missed it. They got the rebound, passed it to Dort in the corner again. He missed it again, but he has that trust in Dort. And guess what? The next two shots Dort shot in the corner, knocked both of those down, keeping his guys in rhythm, showing that he trusts them. You know, it just shows – it goes to show you that, you know, not only is he a great player, but he's a great leader, and he's not just a guy that's like, give me the ball, I'm going to go shoot and, you know, take it easy, not do anything else. He's working on the glass. He's working on defense. He's doing all the right things, and he's, you know, as Cone said, like, he's the reason that we were in this game, and he's the reason that we ultimately were able to close this game.
I want to give a shout real quick to Daniel Bell, who – I tweet out, if y'all haven't seen, by the way, the tweet I put out a little bit ago of the angle of Shea's shot, the behind the backboard one that tied the game.
Oh my God.
Ridiculous. And he was asked about that after the game, and Daniel Bell said that Shea's quote about that shot was, that was ill-advised. And he may be right.
Over two guys too, right?
Oh, yeah, over the outstretched arms of Tim Hardaway Jr., two defenders there behind the backboard. And even as he shot, he kind of put his arm down, like trying to will it in, like, oh, maybe that one's not going to go down. And it still went down. So,
I mean, here's the thing. Like, we've seen in other series that the best player on a team has to step up. And Shea has stepped up. No questions asked. You know, you cannot make any argument about this. He's been the best player in the series. And moving forward, he's going to have to be the best player in any series that we play from here on out, not just this year, but for years to come. And so his stepping up in this moment has been just something amazing to watch. Like, it's been a pleasure to watch it, just seeing a superstar go forward in his superstardom career.
Yeah, man. And also, I appreciate the leadership, too, he showed at times. I just saw a quote from Joel who said that a lot of you'll probably remember the play where we fouled on purpose so they couldn't get the three up. And Shea was kind of like yelling at Cason Wallace for a moment, like, why weren't you fouling kind of thing? Because they almost got the ball at Tim Hardaway Jr., who did throw up a brick anyways. But, like, they were trying to foul in that moment. And he said that he wanted to foul PJ and Cason was trying to play out the possession. So there was that miscommunication. And Shea said that, I apologize to Case. I felt bad. He does nothing wrong all game. And the one thing he does right, I yell at him, but we're good. So just like moments like that, you see the leadership there. And even like, there were a couple of times where Shea was like yelling at guys, like, this rotation, like, make this play, like, kind of where guys should be in certain spots. There was one play where we left, I think it was PJ Washington open in the corner, and he thankfully actually missed one, and Shea was yelling at, I think it was Dub or Wiggins or someone like that, like, you need to rotate over there, like, this is what we need to do. And, you know, it's just, I think it's good leadership to be like, hey, like, communicating like that on the court, don't just let stuff like that slide, be like, hey, this is where we need to be, this is what we need to do. And of course, he always takes accountability for mistakes he makes as well. So, yeah, just great leader and an unstoppable player as well.
Yeah, and touching on his leadership, just one more thing. Like, at the end of the game, you know, everybody's, you know, they got the whole team in the huddle as they're doing the post-game interview. And, you know, he's talking to Shea. He says all the stuff. And then he kind of looks at Jalen Williams. He's like, J-Dub, you know, you got it? You good? And, like, you know, Dub was, like, kind of sullen. Like, you know, definitely had, like, an uncharacteristic game. And Shea speaks up. He's like, no, he's got it. He's always got it. Like, stepping up for his guy. So, definitely appreciate that out of Shea. So, I think we've hammered the Shea point pretty hard at this point. I'm going to go to Dolan now. Dolan, what is your score, John, for the game, friend?
I'm actually not going to be able to participate in the single large item because I need two large items.
The two large items are the
two threes Chet made because those were absolutely gigantic shots. That one with Lively coming up behind him, that was, and I know Chet's been shooting a lot of his threes very, very flat in this series. But that one was, like, I swear he shot that downward into the rim. It was a laser. And then the big corner three to go up by three with, I don't know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, beautiful. Something like that. Just a ginormous shot. Like, I cannot believe a rookie was able to just step up and knock that down. I mean, Cason had his two big threes as well. Like, I don't want to shortchange him. Cason Wallace was awesome. He's probably going to be somebody's single large item. But that Chet three from the corner in a tie game, down 2-1 in a series in the second round of the playoffs, like, dare I say, giant testicles.
And the two free throws.
Mm-hmm.
And the two free throws. Say. And Shea's number two, and now the series is 2-2. Cason made two threes. There's just twos all over the place.
Cason, so, yeah, wears 22.
I couldn't get in with the single large item. There needed to be a two involved.
Yeah. I understand.
But the Chet free throws, immediate flashbacks that game against the Warriors. Like, immediately.
Oh, yeah. Second, I thought for – yeah. I thought for sure he was going to miss one. I feel like he splits his free throws, like, all the time now. And he buried them all net.
It's weird because I do have a lot of those moments where I'm like, okay, he might split these. But there's something about him going to the line in a close game where we need him to ice it or just make something happen. I was just 100% sure Chet was going to make those. Yeah, that was the most confident I've ever been in his free throw shooting.
All I said was, remember the Warriors game. Remember the Warriors
game. Did him too, yeah.
Yep.
Him just holding it there after making the first one was just so perfect. It was like, yeah, he's that dude. Yeah, he's not intimidated. The lights are not too bright.
Nope.
Yeah, I was going back and looking at that. They actually called that shot that Lively was chasing him on. They called it a two. They changed it to this photo on the line.
Well, of course it was a two.
Should have.
There's your two. There you go.
Should it have been an and one though? I thought Lively got him on the
Chet was. Too. I didn't really get a good look at it, but Chet was saying he hit me on the wrist.
It was a hilarious play. Like, remember when Chet was chasing Lively around last game, like it felt like a scene out like Scooby-Doo or something like that. That was the reverse, where Chet is running up the court and Lively's trying to catch him so he can't catch and shoot the three and then closes out from behind. We got the redux. Just reverse the roles this time.
It was funny because they both went down and then, like, you know, you see them drive down like 4-on-4 and like Shea kind of gets walled up. And he kind of looked backward and throws it into nothing, like, based off the TV broadcast. And then Chet just comes up, and, you know, he's about to shoot. And then Lively flies out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, God, this is crazy. But, yeah, no, shout out Chet. I mean, you know, obviously the shots, like you said. But, man, some of those rebounds, like, I'm going to look at, like, how many rebounds he had in the fourth quarter specifically because, yeah, he had 4 of his 9 rebounds in the fourth quarter. Just really stepping up on the glass, had a huge block as well. They're late in the game. Like, it's been so rough. So my buddy Trevin was over watching the game with me, and I was talking to him about it. I was like, it genuinely frustrates me because it feels like we forget Chet Holmgren can play offense. Like, we don't ever try to get him the ball. Early on, like, you know, had the alley-oop to Dub, and like after that, I was, you know, he didn't touch the ball for like much longer after that. And it kind of didn't happen until the second half. And it feels like we go through super long stretches without Chet, you know, getting any shot unless it's out of a pick and roll. And he's a guy that can create for himself as evidence. I think in the second quarter, he kind of drove down, like, fine, I'll do it myself. And over PJ Washington with the turnaround fadeaway as well. He's a guy that obviously can score with the ball in his hands and he can create offensively for himself. But I really wish that we would give him not more ball handling reps. I just wish that we wouldn't forget about him offensively is what I'm kind of trying to say.
I think it's coming. Like, I don't think you do that now. But I do think, you know, we've seen flashes of like mid-post game, you know, the Dirk fadeaway. You know, we've seen flashes of that. So I do think it's coming and something that, you know, Dagnall, the coaching staff over the offseason can kind of work up a plan on that and find ways to kind of make him more accessible offensively. But I think we're going to see it here, you know, in the near future, not necessarily this season, but in years to come.
Yeah. The chat saying we done lost our Dolan. Dolan said his internet went down, so.
I know how that feels.
Yeah. Alex has some technical difficulties with the internet sometimes too. So, all right, yeah. So for my single large item, I kind of hinted at it. I'm just going to talk about Case Wallace for a second, guys. Obviously,
go ahead.
Kentucky guy, Kentucky guard, a rookie, has played a solid series, you know, thus far. And, you know, this is a guy that grew up in Dallas, was born in Dallas, a guy that Dallas actually traded away from the Pit 10 in order to draft Derek Lively. And so OKC ended up drafting Case and Wallace. So not like, you know, in his mentality, I don't think he has like a revenge game in his mentality. But tonight he was truly the catalyst for, you know, the comeback. I think that specifically Kyrie came down court in the late in the third quarter, or like mid third quarter or something like that. And he decided to pull up from 3-point line, like dribble pull up, like in stride. And Case and Wallace anticipated it and timed it perfectly, got the perfect contest. Actually, I think he blocked it and, you know, was able to create another shot on the other end. I think Dub got the ball down on the other end and scored. And then almost immediately afterwards, he got a 3-pointer trailing on the wing, knocked it down, huge shot. And of course, Queso from the corner, I think Giddey actually passed the ball to him in the corner. And, you know, two huge threes from Case, and obviously great defense. Got to stay down on pump fakes, my boy. Like we saw it with CJ in game one against the Pelicans. Luka got him in the air once again, but he has all the tools. He has the temperament. He has everything that you need to be a like legitimate impact 3-and-D guy at the guard position. You know, I think just working with Lu Dort and learning under him is like just going to make him an absolute monster defensively. Already a phenomenal shooter, and you know we're seeing whenever we have him, Kaysen, Jalen Williams, Shea, and Chet out there, like that's when our defense really thrives because you have three, like, just absolute phenomenal perimeter defenders in Dort, Kaysen, and Dub. Shea's not a terrible perimeter defender, but, like, phenomenal weak side defender in Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, you know, we mentioned he had two blocks tonight. Those were on the weak side. Whenever Chet gets, like, mixed up in the pick and roll, Shea's kind of our last line of defense on defense, which is kind of why we get a lot of P.J. Washington corner threes. And then, you know, obviously Chet and his shot blocking, so – yeah, I mean, for Kaysen to be able to do this as a rookie, a guy that hasn't missed a single game all year throughout the regular season, throughout the playoffs, just like Chet Holmgren, and step up in such a huge way, I couldn't be more proud, couldn't be more happy, and I can't wait to see what else he does in this series.
He's special. He earned that right to close tonight, and I'm really glad he got that chance. We don't win that game if Queso doesn't do the stuff that he did tonight. We don't. Not at all. The defense, like, you know, you talked about that pull up three in particular, the guts to go ahead and take that shot when we weren't hitting threes all night. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and knock this down in transition. Like, just completely incredible. And I think back to when people were upset that we drafted Queso because, oh, we have so many guards and this and that. This is why you grab a player like him, someone who can defend, who showed a ton of flashes of shooting, who is poised. They knew what they were doing when they took him. I mean, this team has made so many great draft decisions over the course of this rebuild. Queso is one of those guys. And, you know, he made the Maverick.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Pay for trading him tonight. Not that Derek Lively isn't good, he's really good, but
yeah,
Queso was just so impactful in this game. Like, we do not win this if Cason Wallace isn't on this basketball team.
Is Cason Wallace's like comp or ceiling like a Drew Holiday? I mean, I see it's like glaring, and all he does is make impactful plays. Like, every, I mean, we say this all the time, anytime we need a momentum shifter or to stop the bleeding, he hits the shot that calms everything else the F down. He just, it's like clockwork. It's incredible how, like, he's also a sneaky athlete. Like, people don't talk about how athletic that kid is, but he flies down the court too. Like, people just never get by him. He doesn't have wasted movement either. He just, man, that dude's not a rookie. He just doesn't play like a rookie. He plays like a 6 or 7 year vet.
Special player, man. I hope he continues to get minutes in this series. I know a lot of minutes have been up and down for a lot of guys, but Cason earned a right to get a bunch of minutes in game five and going forward throughout this series, because we've got at least two more games. That's a big thing. You know, not only did they tie this thing up, but we're guaranteed to have at least two more games. And we got home court advantage back. Like, it's now a 2 out of 3 in Oklahoma City, where we've been great all season at home. They've got a real shot to win this thing.
It's really nice to get that asterisk off of game six, right? That little if necessary asterisk.
Yep. It's very nice. I hate those. Unless it was us that was, you know, taking them off the board by winning in five or something. I hate them. Need them to go away. I'm glad we're man, we're heading to game five.
Game five, man. Game five in OKC. Is that going to be on Wednesday, boys?
Yep.
It's Wednesday, man. And then game six is Saturday.
9:30 again.
Game six is Saturday, and I'm going to miss it because I'm going to be on
a Saturday, 8:30. God bless, man. All these late games.
And I'm going to try my hardest to be at game six in Dallas.
Oh.
Do it. You won't.
All right.
Oh,
you
okay.
Won't do it.
Okay.
You won't.
Hey, don't get kicked out. I heard they're just kicking OKC fans out for anything down there. So.
Okay.
Wow. That's crazy. But yeah, guys,
I saw a tweet. Apparently there were a bunch of barks that broke out in American Airlines Arena tonight after the Thunder won. There was like a bunch of barking that was happening. So the Thunder fans are traveling, and we're going to see some awesome clips tonight of, I hope everybody, obviously this podcast won't go up before it happens, but I hope every single person that's in Oklahoma City goes out to that airport and greets them when they come back. Cause they earned the hell out of that welcome.
They're doing that welcome. After we win some jewelry, are we going to be called the Diamond Dogs, like Ted Lasso?
That, I mean, I don't know. Is the trophy diamond?
The rings are.
That is a good point. I guess so. Yeah. Man, imagine that the barks at that ring ceremony. Those would go crazy.
If we were in a crazy, like, crazy scenario, just crazy scenario. If we were to win the championship this year, do you think the championship ring would have at least one dog on there?
I think for some players it would.
I think it would have to have something.
You have to.
Might be just shaped like a dog. Shout out Devin Newsom. Yeah, he's I think he was a former storm chaser for the Thunder in arena staff or whatever. But he has been organizing Thunder airport meetups as far as I can remember, as far as I've seen them. And he is organizing one again tonight. Looks like between 12:30 a.m. and 1 a.m. is the estimated time of arrival, Central Standard Time. Follow him on Twitter at Devin Newsom for updates on that. He's awesome at organizing that stuff. You know, it's not just you're going to go there and stand there. Like he has a microphone. I think, you know, they have like, you know, crowd interactions and stuff, you know, while you're waiting for the plane. So you're not just standing there with your hands in your pockets in the cold. It's not cold outside.
Not cool.
Sorry. I had my season mixed up, but yeah, definitely show up to the airport if you're able. I am not able. I'm in Kentucky, comes in New York, Moles is in Hawaii. Alex could go. I'm just kidding. But yeah,
I'm podcasting. There.
Yeah, Alex is on here. Real quick, one more stat I want to throw out there. The Mavericks going into this game were 37-0, I believe, when leading going into fourth quarters. This is the first loss they've had all season when leading going to the fourth, I believe.
That's such a Thunder stat right there.
I'm pretty sure that was the stat, if I remember correctly. So to keep the season alive, or at least, you know, make it a lot easier to keep the season alive, they had to pull off something no one else had done this year. And I guess that's the theme of the season, is doing what nobody else has done, so.
Yeah, and I, you know, going into game five, I expect a lot of these guys that have struggled or not been consistent on the road to step up in a huge way. I expect Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe specifically, Big J Will, Boom. I mean, he's played good, but I expect him to kind of raise his level. And Jalen Williams, Dub, man, you know, obviously, you know, we talked about he had an uncharacteristically bad game tonight. Shot, I think, 5 of 19. Yeah, 5 of 19 from the field. Stuffed the stat sheet a little bit at 14 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, but definitely not used to that inefficiency from Dub. He's definitely a guy that feeds off the crowd, and, you know, I know you guys are going to be showing up and showing out in OKC, barking your heads off, and he's going to be barking right back at you as he's dropping a 30-piece on the Mavericks. You heard it here first. So,
Shout out to Kenrich Williams being dusted off and being in there and giving us some giving us some dog in there.
Yeah.
That technical.
Yeah, who was it? El Sombra Reggio 7. Yeah, he brought that up earlier, said that he was pissed at Kenny's foul on Lively in the M1, but, you know, followed by Casey and Dort chirping at Luka, but that kind of woke everybody up and set us off and around. We started playing, you know, with more force, more of that dog in us a little bit after that play. So, yeah, shout out Kenny, setting it up for us. Yeah, guys, real quick. I mean, predictions, game five, what are we thinking?
Do you really even have to ask?
I mean, hey, some people like to be contrarian, so, yeah.
No.
I think we win double digits.
Okay.
I think it's a lot more like game one. I think the shooters show out, and I also think the Thunder – I'll say they win by like exactly 10. I think it's going to be close throughout a lot, but that in the end, the Thunder will pull away a little bit because, like you said, Dylan, I think the shooters are going to show up a lot more.
Yep. All right, boys. Yeah, Cone, if I'm not mistaken, it's your turn. You have a giveaway through Autograph for Game 5 tickets. So if you want Game 5 tickets, DM Cone.
I'm potentially working on something like that. Not for sure yet. Keep an eye on my Twitter. So I might have something going on with that. But yeah, keep an eye on my Twitter. Might be doing a giveaway with them for tickets. But yeah, I mean, man, we're alive, y'all. We're here.
Holtz, we're alive. Do you have a prediction for game five?
Yeah. I'm going to go with like 105-98. Okay.
So. Oh, you got the score. I got you.
Sounds nice. Well, because we win when we hold teams under 100, and we struggle a little bit when they get over 100. So I'm sticking with
it. We are famously undefeated when we hold the opposing team to 100, under 100. Is that right? Yes. When we hold the opposing team to under 100 in the playoffs, we are undefeated. So that seems like a nice method for success. Yeah, fellas, I'm excited. You know, as we said, you know, we've evened the series back up. Good vibes, head back to OKC. Just want to, before we close out the podcast, I want to give a shout out. You know, I mentioned that, you know, we weren't able to get the Game 3 podcast up. One, because it was Mother's Day, and, you know, we got wives who are mothers, and, you know, we didn't want to upset them by podcasting, and we didn't really want to podcast after a loss on top of that, Cone, as I said, did a solo podcast, but I told him I would edit and post it. And then Nova had to go to the hospital late last night. He's got a lot going on. He's going to be okay. But you know, it's been a really frustrating time for me and my family. I kind of voiced that on Twitter, and you know, as you guys do, Thunder Nation stepped up, showed up, and showed out. Definitely appreciate the outpouring of love and support that you guys have shown us. And you know, I'm just continually overwhelmed and humbled by, you know, your guys' love and support. And a lot of you guys, you know, after the win, you know, we're all excited. I can't tell you how many people I said that was for Nova. We got the win for Nova. And, you know, that means the absolute world to me. So shout out you guys. You guys are awesome. And we love you.
We love Anybody you, Dylan.
Well, okay. I appreciate the love from you guys as well. Hey, anybody else got anything to add before we close this thing out?
Winning is fun. Six. Losing sucks.
Winning is fun, yes.
It's way more fun than losing, man. It's 100%. Way more fun. Although I don't know how much more my heart can take now that we've gotten back to the winning. But it's if I die watching a championship run, hey, man, there's way worse ways to go.
At least wait till we get the championship before you die.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be highly unfortunate.
Yeah, I'll make sure to write that one down in the docket, Alex. I got you. let me tell my heart that almost went to cardiac arrest tonight. That
stay alive.
Heart, the eyes need to see it. So,
Alex, I think that's like literally, is that like that's like a paradox kind of thing? Bucket list, stay alive. that's kind of crazy, to be honest.
Yeah,
that all right, Donna.
Have a bar? Is that gonna be in Kendrick's next disc?
Yeah, honestly, that is kind of a bar. Alex, write that one down. Anyways,
guys, we're
selling you. We're selling you.
We got Drizzy's Ghost Rider up in here, so. All right, boys, that is going to be the end of the podcast. Again, for all the people that joined in, you know, the chat was very lively. We had a lot to talk about. We had a lot of people on, so didn't get to interact with the chat as much, but we definitely appreciate you guys. If you guys are in here right now, if you're listening after the fact, go ahead and like the video. That would mean a lot to us. Subscribe to our channel. I think we're 4 away from 500 subscribers, so let's make that happen. That would be awesome to see. Hit the notification bell so you guys don't miss out when we go live. Follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. And yeah, we will be back at it on Wednesday, hopefully talking about a blowout.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast.
With that being
said, be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review. And follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Thunder up!
Thunder up! Thunder and 6. Thunder and 6. Maybe 7. Just win it. At least just win it somehow.
Yeah. NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
If a friend asks how you're doing and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Keep your house or deck clean with Mold Armor products. Featuring built-in microband technology for enhanced cleaning power. Tackle your decking, siding, driveway, or any surface with ease. Mold Armor House Wash cleans mildew, mold, and algae stains. Plus, it's easy to use. Just spray and rinse off. Save big on cleaning products at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Menards. Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.